Well, I'm looking forward to the next couple hours. Our special guest is Dr. Bernard Beitman. We're going to be talking with him about his latest work, Connecting with Coincidence, the New Science for Using Synchronicity and Serendipity in Your Life. This is a topic dear to me, so we're going to jump right in with Dr. Beitman next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. George Norrie with you. Dr. Bernard Beitman, MD, is a visiting professor at the University of Virginia, former chair of the Department of Psychiatry at the University of Missouri, Columbia, and he graduated from Yale's medical school, completed a psychiatric residency at Stanford, and he's the first psychiatrist since Carl Jung to attempt to systemize the study of coincidences and has developed the first scale to measure coincidence sensitivity. And here he is, Bernie Beitman on Coast to Coast. You want to be called Bernie, I guess, right?
The other Bernie, George.
Bernie it is. That's right. The one that we would vote for, you. Welcome to the program, Bernie. Good to have you.
Glad to be here, George.
Lots to talk with you about. And this is exciting because I have to tell you from the outset, I have never been a believer of coincidence. I've always said that fate takes over and things. So this is going to be fascinating for me. How did you get involved in this?
It started as an 8-year-old boy who lost his puppy. My dog ran away. When I came home from school one day on my bike, I looked for my dog, Snapper is his name, and asked my mother. I said, "Hey, Ma, where's Snapper?" And I think she was a little bothered because she was supposed to be watching him. And she said, "I don't know, maybe he's at the police station." What an answer, I thought.
Yeah, really?
Years later, I thought that. But I believed my mommy. So I dutifully got on my bike and rode over to the police station by going over what I call the big road, and then parking my bike at the bottom of the stairs and walking up the stairs and walking into that big, big room where the big guy was sitting behind the big desk. And I said, "Mister, have you seen my dog?" And he shook his head and he said, "I'm sorry, son, no." And so I turned around and started crying and went down the stairs and got on my bike. But because I was crying so much, I took the wrong way home. And about 2 minutes later, I see this dog walking towards me. And the way Snapper walked, and it was him.
That's
and
great.
I just said, "Okay, let's go home." And he jumped up at me. I jumped up on my leg, almost saying, "What took you so long?"
What a great feeling, wasn't it?
I needed that puppy. I needed that dog. I was a lonely boy, and he was my best friend, and we hung out around the garbage cans together and things and did a lot of stuff.
That's right. You were at the University of Missouri, Columbia. I spent a lot of time in St. Louis. That's a great school out there at the university.
Yeah, it is. Columbia is about 2 hours from St. Louis, we have our rivalry with Washington University, of course.
Of course, yeah. Another great school.
It's a great place to be.
Bernie, coincidence. I got to get a definition from you on coincidence before we can move forward, because it's the crux of everything that I've talked about in my career and things that I've believed. So I want to find out from you, when you say coincidences, what do you mean by that?
Well, there is the first thing called mere coincidence or just a coincidence. And there is the kind of meaningful coincidence that I'm talking about. And there's synchronicity, which of course is related, as is serendipity. But in the simplest form, a coincidence is the intersection of two independent life events that bring the person who observes that intersection some surprise and wonder. The surprise and wonder is usually generated by the low probability of the intersection of those two events. And the two events are most commonly a thought or a feeling and an external event. But that's not the only form, but that's the most common. There are environmental events that are correlated, that are connected. You can have an outside observer noticing each of the events. And there's a third variety, which is mind-to-mind events. No one could observe it except each of the individuals experiencing it. The most common one, though, is thought-environment connection. And the most common one of those, according to my research, is thinking of an idea and then seeing it on the internet or the radio or TV.
It just pops up.
It just pops up. There it is in your mind, and there it is reflected outside in some major media.
See, I've always felt that events happen because of fate, that things are connected, that people are connected with this wireless internet that's out there somehow. I don't know how, but it's out there. And that when you're thinking of somebody, they may be thinking of you because of this connection. And all of a sudden you're ready to call them and they call you. Or you're thinking of somebody and you turn around a corner of a building and there they are. They run right into you. But I've always thought of that as synchronicity. So maybe my definition, maybe we're talking about the same thing with different verbiage. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. It's close to the same thing. I use coincidence to avoid the term synchronicity. Although I mean, you know, I mean also what Jung used the term for, but when you start looking at how Jung used the term synchronicity, it gets confusing. Synchronicity is both a description of a meaningful coincidence, which of course Jung meant by that, but it's also a theory about how they happen. Synchronicity is that a-causal connecting principle that Jung wrote about so much, meaning some kind of cause that is outside our usual way of understanding causation. So that's my reading of what a-causal means. Other people would like to think there's no way of connecting our usual word of cause with his a-causal idea. But if you read the sentences that Jung uses in describing his a-causal connecting principle, he uses a term called constellating an archetype. It's a great name. Constellating is a great name. It's even better in German, I think. But it just means activating an archetype. Somehow an archetype gets activated both in your mind and the thing that happens around you. And that archetype for Jung and many Jungians holds those two events together, somehow helping to create them. And Jung couldn't get away from writing sentences that had a causal kind of structure to them, so that the archetype activation or constellation made the two events happen together. Synchronicity, in Jung's term, meant first falling together in time. And this falling together in time, he thought, came about by having archetypes activated.
Well, with Dr. Bernie Beitman, his book is called Connecting with Coincidence, and I'm going to use the word coincidence tonight because it'll make more sense when I ask you questions, Bernie.
Thank you.
About this. This connection of probability is fascinating to me, too,
yeah.
Because
yeah.
Some of these things defy logic. The odds are astronomical, yet
yeah.
They occur. Why? What happens? What causes that?
We just start with what you said, fate. Fate is an abstract term, really. We don't have a good idea what it means. We have a feeling for it. And it's kind of related to many of the other ideas. I would put God and the universe in the same categories, and mystical also, meaning that it's beyond conventional explanations and implies there's some kind of interconnectedness, as you mentioned, between us and among us. this interconnectedness is very, very important. And I think is one of the wonderful contribution coincidence studies can make to understanding our life here on Earth, that we are connected. Everybody says that who's tuned into anything like this. You can see the financial system is obviously interconnected from what Wall Street's mistakes do to the rest of the world. That's interconnectedness in a financial sense. We're talking about interconnectedness also in a mental, spiritual, feeling sense, which we're going to get to for a while. But your question had to do with probability. And it's, when you ask that, you're saying very low probability, so there must be some explanation. Mm-hmm. And the lower the probability, the more difficult sometimes the explanation can be. But I want to talk about the question of probability itself.
Okay.
One of my challenges in developing coincidence studies is to be able to make an accurate assessment of the probability of a particular kind of coincidence. That is not an easy problem. We have a sense, as you just mentioned, of what the odds are, and many times the odds are pretty low. When you look at the statistician's comments on the probability, they have some good points in saying that what we think are very low probabilities are not as low as we think if we take apart the elements of the coincidence and estimate the probabilities in a more objective way. I want to be able to do that. I want to be able to clarify how low the probabilities are for some coincidences. But the lower the probability, as you're implying, the more mysterious it appears that the cause can be. That there are instances when you can have a low probability event, or what seems to be the person to be a low probability event, but if you do what I've been doing is trying to collect a lot of stories, and if you find stories that are similar, then you get to the possibility that the probability of the experience, the coincidence I have now, is maybe not as low as I think. And does that change the way I think about the coincidence? Not necessarily, but we become more objective about analyzing it. And when we become more objective about analyzing it, we go to the second most important question about coincidence meaning. First is explanation, as you are talking about with fate. But the second is, what does it mean to me? How do I use this? What is the message in it for me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, every day I send to my board engineer a list of what we call bumper music, which you'll hear during the breaks, to fill in, you know, before we break. And so I picked one that I haven't used in a long time, and I haven't heard it in a long, long time. I'm out to dinner tonight, and that song pops up in the restaurant.
Right.
And I'm saying to myself, I haven't heard this thing in God knows how long. I picked it today to run, and now I'm hearing it again. I mean, how does this happen?
Well, you are most fascinated, it appears, in the cause or explanation, and let's do that. But let me first ask you, what did it mean to you personally that you heard that same music in the restaurant?
First felt when that happened was that I was tapping into something, that somehow I had this ability to tap into the ether of the universe that is collecting all these things, making these things happen, and I somehow stumbled across it. That's how I think these things are happening for me. Does that make any sense?
Of course. Finding the language for what you just described is what I'm trying to be able to do. Stumbled across is the phrase you used.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think that somehow you knew something that you didn't know how you knew.
I definitely didn't know it, that's for sure. I definitely didn't know how I knew it, I guess.
Yes. And that's if we can ask that question of ourselves and come up with a possible yes answer, then we get to speculate about how that works. And you mentioned being connected to everything and that there's the ether out there. I use the term psychosphere to try to understand the medium through which events like this can happen. And the psychosphere is what I think of as our mental atmosphere. Just as we breathe in oxygen and breathe out carbon dioxide, we breathe in ideas and emotions, or what I call energy information. And we breathe out energy information. So we are in a constant dynamic flux with the information energy that's in the psychosphere surrounding us.
It is truly remarkable that it happens. And sometimes I'm wondering, you know, is it being done for us by other forces that are out there? But I've concluded, Bernie, that we do it to ourselves. I think we're responsible for these coincidences.
How'd you come to that, George? Because a lot of people would prefer to say it's something else outside of us.
I don't know. It's just something I've always felt. I think we create it individually. We make it happen.
This is an important question, obviously, because I agree with you that we manufacture a lot more coincidences and then we blame it on the universe.
Yeah, exactly.
But it turns out that we're part of the universe.
That's right.
That's one of those things.
That's that interconnection.
The universe did it to me, but, well, you're there too. And we have untapped psychological powers. And many coincidences, not all of them, and this is what's important in all trying to be analytical about different categories of coincidences, but some of them illustrate for us powers that we don't recognize that we have. And I try to be able to talk about a particular kind. To use your example in kind of a maybe a trivial, maybe not trivial way. What made you decide to go to that restaurant? What made you go to that restaurant at that time?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Is that fate? What is it that is a destiny that pushes us into things? I mean, and this has happened to me. We'll talk about some stories after our break here, Bernie. But this has happened to me time and time again where I've made decisions, right or wrong, that have coincided with events that have occurred. And, you know, sometimes the old saying, being in the right place at the right time, has worked a lot for me. And there have been times that I've been in the wrong place at the wrong time. So stick with us. We're going to come back in a moment. Dr. Bernard Beitman with us. We call him Bernie right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast with Dr. Bernie Beitman as we're talking about his work connecting with coincidence, the new science for using synchronicity and serendipity in your life. And as we're talking about that, we create this, Bernie. There are some people that can't create it. Why is that? Why can some people do it and others cannot?
Before answering that, and hold on to that question, I want to be able to describe coincidences that are obviously created by ourselves.
Okay.
That can be explained in regular psychological terms, not our conventional psychological and scientific thinking. One of the biggest problems in coincidence studies is all coincidences that seem odd or strange are lumped together under one explanation. If you read any books about coincidences, they'll always have their favorite theory. It could be fractals. It could be their particular view of God. It could be some quantum physics collapsing of the wave function idea. but it's always my idea covers them all. And I'm trying to point out the obvious, that there is not any one cause for this melange of very different kinds of experiences. So I'm like an early botanist going around putting them into categories.
Exactly. Just collecting plants for the first time, things like that.
Yeah, I mean, to use a metaphor for me, I was like a little kid who found a tunnel. And I went through this tunnel and I went to this strange forest where all these birds and plants and trees and stuff were hanging around. And they're different from what I saw, but it turns out they're around us all the time. And then I tried to say, but they're different. How can I categorize them? And one way to categorize them, only one way, there are other ways to categorize. One way to categorize them is by explanation. So let me give you an example, a very simple example.
Okay.
Where the person thought that fate did it or somebody did it,
mm-hmm.
outside of her did it, but it was obviously her. She had come home from a busy, busy day at work, settled down to eat, and was kind of being upset with herself because she had to go to a parent-teacher's meeting that night and didn't want to go particularly. So she went back out to the car and got ready to go and realized there's no gas in the car. And she concluded that the universe has determined that I don't have to go to the meeting.
And that's the way she took it.
And that's the way she took it. That's the way she took
it. Well, you know, and also let's make an assumption that she might have gotten into a car accident. Again, something steps in, whether it's this inner self or something, to save you. And
well, this inner something was her. She didn't put gas in the car.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. But did something tell her not to, or was there some outside force there?
Now, you're asking, did something else tell her? No. It's just that she got in the car and there was no gas. Did she avoid an accident? You can always hypothesize that. And I believe, and we found out that it happens sometimes. And that is something that our minds are able to do, it appears, to precognitively mm-hmm. estimate the possibility that something in the future could happen if I do this, like get in the car and go, and so I don't. Or get on the airplane, as some of the favorite ones that people like to talk about. I didn't get on. I had a feeling of not going on the plane. What do you do with the mother who had a dream that her 8-year-old child was going to get hit by the car on the way to walking to school, and the kid does, and the mother hadn't done anything about it. There are stories like that that cause a lot of grief for people where they didn't pay attention to their impulse. But in this case, it was just she didn't put gas in the car, and that may have been driven by some subconscious impulse to not go to the PTA meeting.
I mean, there...
I don't want to get more complicated when I can find a nice simple answer right at home.
Well, I was going to say sometimes it's very simple. She merely forgot to put gasoline in the car.
Yeah, and if you want to be Freudian, psychoanalytic, or just say subconscious things do it, she didn't want to go and subconsciously forgot.
That's right.
That would be as close to getting an unusual explanation here. I just rather say she did it on purpose and didn't know it, or she could have just forgotten, but I'd like to think that maybe she forgot that she didn't want to go and just didn't do and she knew she didn't want to go, but didn't do the thing that would have gotten her to go.
And now then the question, Bernie, some people have this ability, other people don't. I'm sure you've come across that. Why is that?
Well, as you mentioned, I developed a weird coincidence survey to measure coincidence sensitivity. And some people just ain't sensitive to them, and some people are. So what does being sensitive mean? It means that you see more of them than somebody else. And that's all I'm talking about, is seeing more of them.
Mm-hmm.
It, I know there are stories of people who don't believe coincidences are anything but random acts that just happen.
That just happened. Some, yeah.
There is randomness out there, but one of those stories is a guy that was taking out a loan. He was a psychiatric resident going out into practice, and he took out a loan for some software that he wanted to develop and went to the bank to try to get the loan approved. And he didn't have a track record for entrepreneurship. He didn't have his practice really going very well, and the loan officer was kind of reluctant to give it to him. As they were negotiating, a friend of the psychiatric resident walks in, who's a prominent business guy in town, and says, "Hey, how's it going getting that loan? I know you can do it. It's a great idea." The loan officer knew the business guy too. That's how he got the loan, because the guy walked in right when he needed him.
Timing. Perfect timing.
Perfect timing, as you mentioned before. Perfect timing. Now, the psychiatric resident didn't believe in coincidences, so he didn't call it a coincidence, a meaningful coincidence. He didn't marvel the way I might do about how did it happen that this guy walked in just at the right time. So part of it is people do get involved with coincidences, but they may not notice. But you're asking really the question of what are the capacities in each of us to make coincidences happen. And that's an excellent question, because we all want to have some idea about what part we play in them and how that might work. But I want to keep context in mind. Different contexts increase coincidences, other contexts decrease coincidences. A simple way of saying it is that the dog that trots a bone, that the dog who trots about finds a bone. If you keep moving, you're going to find something. And that's an old Spanish proverb. And I add, the dog that trots about finds a bone if he trots around in a place where there's going to be lots of bones.
That's right. Probability will tell you that.
Probability will tell you that. So if you're in a coincidence-rich environment, you're more likely to see them, whether or not you are highly coincidence-sensitive or not. If you're talking to people in an environment where the people believe that there are lots of coincidences, that's going to help you see more coincidences. We're not in this by ourselves. And the people who are listening to this program now, George, will see more coincidences. Some of them will see more coincidences because they've heard us talking about them, and they will become more sensitive and alert to them.
I agree with that. They're more tuned in because of this.
They're more tuned in because of it. That is a partial answer to your question, is what's the context in which we're looking for coincidences. My research shows the personality characteristics that seem to be correlated with having more coincidences. The common ones, you would probably even guess them, but the people who describe themselves as more spiritual or more religious tend to see more coincidences. Of the two, George, which one, spiritual or religious, do you think sees more coincidences?
I would say spiritual.
Yes. Do you know why?
God, I'm passing this test. I should have been one of your students.
Well, maybe you'll become one. I got a class starting next month. So what would you think the spiritual ones rather than the religious ones?
I think the religious ones restrict themselves, where someone who is spiritual, I'll put that in quotes, is a little more open to a lot of different things.
I think that's just right. I think that's just right. So those are two characteristics that identify people who are more coincidence sensitive. But there are several others. Anecdotally, you can take a person who does a lot of thinking and who runs around a lot.
Okay.
So if you've got a lot of thoughts and you run into lots of experiences, you're going to find more correlations between your thoughts and events in your environment than somebody who stays home all the time.
Right.
Now that's not out of our research. That's out of watching Deepak Chopra. Because he reports a lot of coincidences, and I think those are the reasons. He thinks a lot and runs around a lot and meets a lot of people, and that produces coincidences. Our research had several personality characteristics that were correlated with increased coincidences. The most prominent one is almost self-evident, but it isn't quite self-evident. It's people who are self-referential. Paranoia is extreme of self-referential. There's a plot against me.
Oh, yeah.
So we all have some degree of self-referentiality where we try to connect what's happening around us with what's happening inside of us. And that tendency correlates easily with coincidence sensitivity. Another one that is probably more obvious is people who are highly intuitive tend to see more coincidences. Why? Well, they're not rationalizing everything. They're not trying to figure out everything. They go quickly from experience to conclusion without having to know how the in-between areas happened.
Nor do they care.
Nor do they care until they become like me and try to figure this stuff out.
That's right.
And then they might care. But I'm trying to get people who are intuitive and try to and are interested in coincidences and try to get them to help me, to help them, for all of us, to hone our intuitions. Honing, sharpening, clarifying our intuitions. What's intuition but an inner teacher? Intuition comes from paying the tutor. It's somebody inside of us, or part of us really, that can tell us things we need to know in ways we don't understand how it came to that conclusion. So how do we sharpen our intuition? You have had to sharpen it by doing this radio program, because you pull out questions that you feel are the right questions to ask, or make comments you feel are the right comments to make. Sometimes you can't really analyze what you're saying before you say it, but your intuition gives you some guidance.
And sometimes I wish I would have analyzed before I said it, but but that happens.
Intuition is only one method of getting information. Being able to check it and check it out, so that what I try to do is learn which sound from my inner self seems to be the right one to listen to, and which one should I question, and which one should I reject. Don't take all of them. Find the best voices that you can have inside of you for accomplishing things that you're trying to do in the present.
In terms of intuition, how close does intuition match the coincidence? I mean, do they almost go side by side in tandem with each other, or are they separate?
In my way of thinking and the research that I have done with other colleagues, measures of intuition correlate with coincidence sensitivity. That's the scientific answer to your question. To be able to talk about the kind of inner psychological ways that intuition contributes to coincidences has to do, I think, with going quickly from an observed connection between an event in your mind, an event in your environment, and noticing that it has some possible meaning for you without having to analyze whether or not it does.
You've got on your website, Bernie, a weird coincidence survey. Tell me about that.
That is the survey we were talking about earlier.
Okay.
That measures coincidence sensitivity.
Okay, that's something. In your studies as a psychiatrist, did you ever come across a book called Breakthrough to Creativity by Dr. Shafika Karegula? Some would call her Karegula.
Tell me about it.
She was my aunt. She died, but she went to Oxford. She got a degree in psychiatry. and changed her entire practice to study telepathy. She was obsessed with that. She moved to California. She lived in the Beverly Hills area, and that's what she wanted to do. So she devoted her entire practice to studying ESP, telepathy, intuition. She wrote a couple books, and she died, sadly, was never able really to, finish her work. But a psychiatrist who fell into this and just could not get out of it. She was just obsessed with it.
Well, we've talked about trying to be clear-headed about explanations for coincidences, and I've tried to be able to mention how we cause them and some of the personality correlates that seem to increase them. But now you're getting into the parapsychological, particularly the psi, PSI stuff, the telepathy, precognition, and clairvoyance. And my contribution to explanations has to do with a subset of coincidences that involve what used to be called telepathy. Telepathy, the original definition of telepathy is tele, meaning at a distance, and pathy, meaning emotion or feeling. Telepathy, emotion at a distance. But as you know, telepathy has gotten to be meaning more about thought reading, that it's more about I can read your thoughts or I know what's going on in your mind. And I needed to have a new word for the original definition of simulpathy. And let me tell you a story of mine that got me to this.
Let's get the story when we come back. We're already at the top of the hour. Just an amazing night with you, Bernie. Thank you so much. But an hour to go with you, and we're going to open up the phone lines as well for people who might just have a question or might want to share a story of coincidence. Bernie's website, by the way, is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Go up there and take the weird survey. It's kind of fun. And then his book is called Connecting with Coincidence. So we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM with your phone calls. Final hour to go. Next.